Shalom, everybody. Very interesting topic tonight to understand the evil in the world, the bad in the world, the challenges in the world. And we are on Nun Hei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara Masechet Shabbat tells us as follows. Damar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get into the share screen. Here we go. Me'olam lo yatzta midat tovam livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chazar bo lira'a. That whenever God says that something good is going to happen, it always happens. Sometimes when he says that something bad is going to happen, it doesn't always happen. And this is a very important principle. Let's already see in the Rambam, in the Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, where the Rambam talks about how do I know if a prophet is a real prophet or not. And he's quoting our Gemara, Divrei Puranut Shanavi Omer, if a prophet says that something bad is going to happen, Kagon Shiomar Ploni Yamut, say, Reuven is going to die, or Shimon, or any name, O Shana Ploni Chnat Ra'av, or that this certain year is going to be a famine, O Milchama, O Chiyotze B'Divrei Melu, or that a certain war is going to break out, Im Lo Amdu Dvarav, say that that negative prophecy does not come true. That doesn't mean that he is a false prophet. You can't tell him, hey, you said that this is going to be, and it wasn't, it didn't come true. Why? Our God is very patient, and also very kind. These are two psukim. A pasuk in Yonah, pasuk in Yoel, that sometimes Hashem decides not to do the bad. Ve'efshar she'asu tshuva v'nislach lehem ke'anshei Nineveh. Or another possibility, that the people actually did tshuva, they repented, and if so, they don't need punishment or war. O she'tala lehem ke'chizkiah. Or sometimes God pushes off a punishment. Ramchal Mesilat Yesharim, when he talks about Midat HaRachamim, the Midah of forgiveness, he mentions several points. He says that logic would have it that if a person doesn't listen to his God, he should get zetzed right away. But no, God sometimes waits. Sometimes also he takes off the punishment. He doesn't give a full punishment. Aval im iftiach al tova v'amar sheyakach v'kach. On the other hand, if a navi, if a prophet says that something good is going to happen, for example, that Am Yisrael is going to return to the land of Israel and we're going to have the redemption, v'lo ba tova sheyamar, and say that good prophecy doesn't come true, biyadua shu navi sheker. That's how you know that he is a false prophet. Shekol davar tova sheyigzor ha'el, anything that God decrees for the good, afilu al tnai, even if it is on condition, eino chozer. It is going to come. Even if man does not fulfill the condition, whatever Hashem says for the good, it is going to take place. Halamarata shebedivrei tova bilvad yibachena navi. If a person wants to check if a prophet is a true prophet or a false prophet, the way to do so is only on positive prophecies. Because negative prophecies, God can decide not to carry out his threat or even his promise. And the question is, why? And Rav Kook is going, there's a very famous Rambam, it's a very famous klal, a rule in Jewish philosophy. The question is, why? And there is no one like Rav Kook to come and give us a beautiful explanation. So we are in a Perikei Piska Yudchet on Masechet Shabbat. Rav Kook writes as follows: Hadvarim sheyesh lehem tachlit mitzad atzmam. Certain things have a goal in unto themselves. Umitzad tachlit hayoter gdola shehim la betor emtzaim. And there are means. Certain things in life are a means. Certain things in life are a goal. And this should sound ring familiar. We even mentioned this already last week. We've mentioned this tens of times. Rav Kook talks a lot about the tam ha'itz ketam ha'pri, that the tree and the fruit interplay, right? Even when something is a means, there is also taste in that means, and it is a goal in and to itself. V'ne'a tova hi be'emet tachlit gedola mitzad atzma, shekedai lifol avura. Good things are the end. The goal of the world is for there to be good. That's what it says in Maaseh Bereishit. God saw the world and it was very good. Omnam hara'a eina mechuvenet mitzad atzma, ki im mitzad shehi emtsait la'asagat ha'tova. On the other hand, bad things, negative things, they are not a goal in unto itself. Even when God threatens to do something bad, and even when he carries out something bad, that is not the goal. The goal of the world is good. It's kindness. It's pleasure. And bad can only be a means. A tree, not a fruit. Bad is never going to be an end unto itself. And even when sometimes we see bad, it's just a means to help bring about the good. Now this theme, that the whole world is good, because God is good, appears a lot in the writings of Rav Kook. And that's why most of his Sfarim, most of his books are called Orot, light, which is very optimistic. And Rav Kook writes as follows, for example, in source number 5, I brought for you from Orot HaKodesh, volume 2, page 455, Mitgale b'mahut ha'idealiut ha'meromama she'in hafachim b'metziut. There are no opposites in the world. This is something that we've seen very often. As a matter of fact, Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria and also Professor Resnick, both of them summarize Rav Kook's philosophy in the idea of uniting or harmonizing the opposites. In other words, even when at first glance something seems opposites, it's just a matter of time till you see that there's not a contradiction, that everything harmonizes together. And here's the punchline. If you want a quotable quote to highlight something, En tov shelu umata yesh ra. There is no bad, as opposed to good. Aval yesh madregot b'metziut. There are just different levels of good. Yesh tov shelu umato yesh tov yoter elyon. There is good, and there is better, and there is better, and better, and better. But everything is good. And Rav Kook writes about this in source number 6, also from the same volume, in page 468, where again Rav Kook deals with that which appears bad in the world. He calls it Hatov Hamitave, a beautiful term. Bad is simply good that you need patience until you see that it's for the good. Hatov Hamitave. Bad, there's nothing which is essentially bad, but God created us with free will, and sometimes we could choose right, sometimes we could choose wrong, but even when we choose wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a chess master, can know how to react and get everything back into the good. So how would you translate Tov HaMitaveh, gradual good, right? There is no such thing as bad, but it is gradual good. And this should remind us of the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim. I just added this afterwards, so if you're looking at, if you printed the first edition of the source sheet, you won't have it. Famous Gemara Masechet Nun Pesachim, Daf Nun Amud Aleph. Vahaya Hashem lemelech al kol haaretz, bayom ha'oyeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. The Navi Zechariah says that on that day, God will be king over all of the earth, and God will be one, and his name will be one. We all know this from davening. And the Gemara asks the obvious question, Atu wa'idna lav echadu? What? Today, God is not one? What does it mean? In the future, God will be one. God is always one. He was one before there was a world, and he's one after there. He is the ultimate in unity. So what does it mean? On that day, he will be one. Amar Ravacha Bar Chanina, lo kolam hazeh haolam haba. The world to come is not going to be like today. Ha'olam hazel bisorot tovot omer baruch atah ve'amitiv val bisorot ra'ot omer baruch dayan ha'emet. We all know the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, which teaches us that when you hear good news, you say, Shechianu, if it's a personal good news, hatov ve'amitiv, if it's a general good news. And if you hear bad news, chas v'shalom, somebody passes away, we all know the bracha, baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam dayan ha'emet. The minhag, the custom, is usually not to say it with God's name, simply because a lot of times it puts us in an inconvenient position. If somebody dies and say, I didn't get along with him, and say, I'm not really so upset about his dying, right? I'm not on that level. So it's better just to say, Baruch Dayan Emet, and not pretend that I'm really sad and say God's name in vain. And that's why usually that's the way people say Baruch Dayan Emet. But if it's a relative, if it's a friend, if it's bad news, then, by the way, today you have to really make sure that it's really bad news, because there's a problem of fake news. You don't know sometimes. What?
If it's a Gadol Hador.
Oh, if it's a Gadol Hador, if it's a great national leader, so then you do say Dayan Ha'emet, you make that bracha that God is the true judge with God's name. Okay? So, again, the idea is that today we see things as bad and as good. On the other hand, the day will come when we will understand that even the bad was really for the good. And this is a deeper understanding of the famous Gemara in Masechet Brachot, brought in source number 4, Daf Samech Amud Bet. One of Rabbi Akiva's teachers, his name was Nachum Ish Gamzu. And he lived in, there's a city today, a moshav called Gimzu, they pronounce it. And the Gemara says that he was called Gamzu because he always used to say, Gamzu letovah, this is also for the good. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Mishum Rabbi Meir, V'chein Tana, Mishmei de Rabbi Akiva, Le'olam ye adam ragil lomar, Kol da avid rachmana, Letav avid. That everything that God does is for the best. Now, the idea isn't, okay, I don't understand it, but the idea is, it's not just that it could be for the best, it is always going to bring about good. And I forgot to bring it in the source sheets. The Ramban writes in Shaar HaGmul, very interesting, he says, the first thing that happens when a person gets to heaven is that he doesn't have any questions anymore. And even why something like why bad things happen to good people, the Ramban explains, as soon as you get to heaven and you get the entire picture, you see what was, you see what will be, you understand that everything really is for the good. Now it's interesting, Hilchot Brachot, we make the blessings based on how we see them. So for example, if something used to be bread, but then it was torn up and kneaded and mixed with eggs, and you don't recognize that it used to be bread, so you say borei menei mezonot. You don't say on what it used to be, you say the bracha on the way it is today. I'll just add parenthetically, there are those that either Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook used to explain the bracha of Shelo Asani Isha, that men thank God that we are not women. He explains the same idea, that brachot are worded in a way that they are real where we're at today. The way the world is at today is that society decided, for whatever reason, that men have it better. I don't know if that's true when it, because on the average, women live a couple of years longer than men. So if you look objectively, maybe it is better to be a woman. But nevertheless, society, right? The concept of chauvinism, the concept that women are fighting for equality, that is based on the idea that society does not see things as equal, and that is all of the laws of brachot we make on the present situation. So if something today looks bad, we don't pretend that, yeah, I really believe the day will come when I will understand that this is for the good. We don't pretend, because brachot have to be real. But we make the bracha in the meantime of Dayan HaEmet, even though Chazal tell us that the day will come that we will only make one bracha, because everything will be clear. Okay? So let us continue. Paragraph bet, two bet. V'ine be'emet, mitzad midat tuvo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Regarding the goodness, the trait of goodness of God, hayara ra'oi liyot le'olam nishba rak ha'chesed ve'atov. Logic would have that there should just be good in the world, we should always just succeed, and we should only hear good news. Ela, mipnei she'atova yoter gedola hi atova ha'musarit. Here is a very important punchline. The realest good, the greatest good, is ethical good, moral good, philosophical good. She'yeh ha'adam bepnimiyuto tov betachlit. That man, inside, in his very essence, he is really good. Mitzad atzmo. In other words, there has to be, if everything was just good and successful, man would not have free will. And if every time you roll a dice when playing Monopoly or Shishbesh, backgammon or whatever, every time you roll the dice, you just get 6-6, 6-6. And so it wouldn't be any fun, because it's not me who is doing anything, it's God. Al kena tova hashlema. If we really want good, and again, that's our topic, that everything is good, and God wants us to have real good, mechayevet mitzida et ha-mishpat, shu mesovevet ha-tava musarit ha-shlema, ba-ofen shiye adam lo rak mekabel tova, ki im shiye tov be'atzmo. The real goodness is not just that man will receive good, and everything will always be happy and successful, but that is what the world to come is about. This world is not just that we get good, but that we also do good, that we are good, that we are godly. And we mentioned in the past, this is the concept of Vilna Gaon, when he was on his deathbed, his students saw that he was crying. So they asked him, why are you crying? You're going straight to heaven. To which the Vilna Gaon answered, he says, well, even in heaven, I'm going to be upset because I will miss out on the pleasure that I could take a half a shekel and buy a candy for a child and make him happy. That is a pleasure that you can only have in this world. And as the Ramchal writes in Sefer Da'atvunot, there are two types of pleasure. Right? Why did God have to make two worlds? God could have done anything. He could have put everything, all the goodness in one world. But the problem is there are two pleasures which are diametrically opposed and they cannot work together. In the world to come, we are with God. So we're just getting pleasure and receiving all the time. The problem with that is that we cannot be like God. And that's why Hashem had to create this world where God hides himself. Olam is from the word God, laha'alim, he hides himself. That's where Purim is coming up. Vanochi, Aster, Aster. Esther is alluded to, that God hides himself. And the idea of Megillat Esther is ligalot et Esther, to reveal God who is hiding himself. The whole idea of this world is that God hides himself so that we don't always see the good, so that we can choose good, choose bad, we have free will, and that way we are godly, which is the ultimate pleasure. The ultimate pleasure is to be like God. And this is the concept that Chazal call Nahama de Kisufa, the bread of shame. That a beggar, if he is begging for money and somebody gives him bread, that bread is not as tasty as if he were to work hard with the sweat of his brow and make money and make the bread himself. And because the idea is this world is based on not, like they say in the Western society, that pain is the opposite of pleasure, but the opposite is true. Pain, or the possibility of pain, is what brings the pleasure. And if we don't have the possibility of failure, we don't have the pleasure of victory. I once gave here the example of Down's children. When somebody has Down syndrome, they are not going to finish the Talmud. They are not going to win Nobel Prizes. They are not going to win gold in the Olympics. Right? They're not on that level. They don't have those capabilities. On the other hand, they don't sink down too low. Right? They don't understand the wars in the world. They don't understand Iran. They don't understand anti-Semitism. And therefore, in general, that's what the social worker told us when we started working in Bnei Akiva with people with Down syndrome, in general, they're more happy than we are. And the idea is that if you want greatness, you have to be ready to choose wrong and sometimes to fail. And this is why the bread of shame, right, the fruits that I buy in the super, are not as tasty as the fruits that I work hard to do. And that's what crossword puzzles are about, or jigsaw puzzles are about. The idea, that's what children are about, right? Our greatest pleasure is from our children, but also our greatest pain is from our children. And davka goes together. So again, Rav Kook is explaining here very beautifully and very important why the goal of the world is all good. And therefore, when bad comes around, it's not a goal, but it's a means to enable us a challenge, to enable us free will. And that is why, again, when God said that something good is going to happen, it has to happen. Because Hashem wants to show us that that is the goal. That is what the world is about. On the other hand, when something bad might happen, or even if a prophet says that something bad is going to happen, remember, it's just a means and it's not the goal. It's a means to get us to do tshuva. It's a means to get us thinking. It's a means to get us to set our priorities. A means to get us to choose well, etc., etc. Okay, paragraph Gimel. Aval al kol panim hatachlitu hatov. The end is always good. Again, when something is good, it is good in unto itself, and it is also a means to achieve a higher good. When something is bad, it is not an end unto itself, but it is just a means to achieve something good. Im ken, kevan sheyatzta midat tova mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as soon as God says that something good, a good prophecy, is going to happen, harei yesh ba shnei inyanim, it has both aspects. Hatachlit shetimtza tova ba'olam, it is a goal, and that is the goal of the world, that there should be good. Ve'od she'atova mishameshet gam ken b'tor hachana l'tova yoter shlema mimena, and also this good is also a means for a next good, a higher good, and really it's good, 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 good. Right, that is when good things happen. On the other hand, sometimes Hashem sends us something good, and we misuse that good. We use it for wrong. All of the good that Hashem, we've mentioned in the past, Rav Kook says, there is no yetzer ra. There is no drive or desire which is inherently bad. All of the desires are good, but man can overdo it or underdo it, and misuse the good and turn it into something bad. And so, after something good happens, man can misuse it or choose to do wrong. Ad she'nen ra'uy l'midah tova, and then he doesn't deserve the higher good. He doesn't deserve the next good, because again, every good is also a goal and also a means. But say, man or society does not deserve that higher good. Hainu she'atova lo tavi imat ha'tachlit shela b'tor emtzai, and then that second good, we're not going to achieve it, because man is misusing his free will, שלא ישתמש בה לטוב יותר שלה, מכל מקום, כבר זכתה להיות נמצאת מצד עצם התכלית שלה לבדה. Nevertheless, that first good that Hashem granted us, even if we're going to misuse it, it is good unto itself. At least we got the first good. וילך העניין בסיבובים אחרים. Oh, so how are we going to get to the second good? It is going to come about through סיבובים אחרים. Through a roundabout way, how Hashem is going to bring it about. Don't worry. Hashem is the chess master. No matter how we move our pawns or how we move our rooks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can get the game back on track where he wants it to go. Ech lo'otzi et ha'tachlit, in order to bring about that higher, second, next level of good, sha'ita tova ru'uya l'shamesh b'tor emtza'i l'tova yoter shlema. Right? This is, I think I once quoted Rav Aryeh Kaplan, who says that the relationship between man's free will and God's knowledge and God running the world is like a game of chess. And anybody who plays chess knows that the basic goal is to conquer the opponent's king. But for a chess master, that's too easy. And so what these chess masters do is they have all these different exercises to keep themselves sharp. Today it's no problem, they can play against the computer. But what they used to do, this is Natan Anatoly Sharansky was famous, that he once, Boris Spassky, who was also Jewish, if I remember correctly, he was a Russian chess master, and he used to do this exercise. He would play 50 chess masters simultaneously, and he'd just go from board to board, move, and then his opponent would have a half hour to think what his next move is going to be, while the chess master only has whatever, 30 seconds to make his move. And it's hard to keep track of playing 50 games simultaneously. And Natan Sharansky supposedly defeated once Boris Spassky when Sharansky was a teenager. People bring that as a sign that he's a smart cookie. Anyway, another exercise that chess masters do is that they will ask a bystander to write down on a piece of paper where you want me to maneuver my opponent's queen. In other words, my opponent has free will. He moves around his pieces however he wants, and he wants to conquer my king. That's what he thinks he's doing. On the other hand, a real chess master can think enough moves ahead that he can work it out that his opponent, who has totally free will eventually move his pieces in a way that the chess master wants. In other words, God has total control. If we mention Purim, that's part of the idea of V'nahafochu. Why is everyone so excited that Megillat Esther, it is A, B, C, D, and then from the time that Mordechai rides on the horse, everything is turned around, and it is minus D, minus C, minus B, minus A. It's exact replica. And part of the idea is that it shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally in control. Man can dig a pit, he'll fall into that pit. Man, Haman, can build a tree, he'll be hung on that same tree. And this idea of irony shows us how Hashem runs the world. That was also in, we read in Parshat Yitro. Yitro says, Ataya dati, ki gadol Hashem yikol Elohim, ki badavar asher zadu alehem. Now, says Yitro, I know that God, the God of Israel, he is the true God. How do I know? Because what the Egyptians tried to do to the Jews, that's what Hashem did to them, exactly. They tried to drown the Jewish boys in the water. In the end, they were drowned in water. And again, this idea of the irony shows that Hashem is in total control of the world. It's like, I remember when I was a kid, and I used to like watching Western movies. And there was a leader of a gang who tells his gang, he says, anybody who wants to, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid it was. he tells the gang, whoever wants to challenge me for the leadership of the gang, anytime you want, you can challenge me. Anyway, this big guy named Harvey challenges Butch. And Butch Cassidy, has to answer him. And so Harvey is such a big guy. And he says to Butch Cassidy, guns or knives? In other words, you choose if you want to have a duel with guns or if you want to have a sword fight with knives. Whatever you choose, I can beat you at your own game. Right? That's the concept of Vinafohu. And this, again, is the concept of Hashem as the chess master. Even when man chooses to turn the good into bad, and he doesn't move on to the next level of good, don't worry, in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, through Sivuvim, get to that next good. Man will, obviously, he'll pay the price, there's reward, there's punishment, etc., etc., but don't worry, God will always get us to where he wants. Okay, just a final paragraph to finish off. Share screen. Here we go. Paragraph Dalet. Alken. Hamida hazot muchrachat lihimatze mipnei hayesod hakavua. This concept that whenever a prophet, God, whenever God says that something good is going to happen, it has to happen. Why does that have to be the law? Because every good, the world is about the goal of good. The goal of the world is good, good, good. Right. Whenever things look bad, it's because man chooses, unfortunately, to do bad, and it's just temporary, right? This temporary bad, don't worry, Hashem, will eventually get us to that higher level of good. Nevertheless, free will is good, and that's the ultimate in pleasure of this world, that we can choose to be godly, and we could also fail. Im ken, tzarich limatzei, eze chok ba'anaga Elohim. How do we know that the end of the world is good? That the real goal of the world is the good, not the bad. That is why Hashem established this law that whenever a prophet, whenever God says that something good is going to happen, it definitely is going to happen. To show you that the world is really good. And that's the basis, that's the means, and that's the goal. Sometimes when bad happens, that is the means that man chooses or the outcome of man's choice. But again, it's just temporary. And that's why when something bad, God says something bad is going to happen, a lot of times it doesn't happen. Because again, the whole idea of the bad is just as a means, a temporary means, to get us to that higher good. Hamorel tachlit ha'atzmit shel ha'tova. Vehum urusham bazeh. That's why God built it into the ground rules of the world. Shekol mida sheyatzta letova mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino chozer ba lera'a. That whatever good that Hashem says is going to be, that is definitely going to be. And it's to teach us that that is really what the world is about. I'll just add on that kal v'chomer, how much more so in our generation, where Hashem has brought us back to the land of Israel, even though we don't deserve it, as we've learned many times. Mevi goel ivnei v'nehem lema'an shmo be'ahava. Hashem is bringing us back to the land of Israel, even if we don't deserve it, for three reasons. Number one, livnei v'nehem, because he promised in a covenant to our forefathers that he's going to bring us back, and the worthy eternal people, and the land of Israel is eternally ours. Number two, lema'an shmo, because galut, even if it's our fault that we're not doing tshuva, and we just stay around in exile longer and longer, that's a bad reflection on God. As we saw, unfortunately, throughout the exile, and especially in the Holocaust, where not only did the goyim say, Jew, where's your God? But even a lot of Jews started asking, where is our God? So Hashem has to redeem us, lema'an shmo. And the third reason, be'ahava, out of love. Because Hashem, Pashut, loves us, and a father doesn't need an excuse to redeem his children. And that's why Hashem has brought us back to the land of Israel, even if we don't deserve it. And the entire society today is based on good. Not so much on yirah, not so much on fear, right? Even raising children. We don't discipline as much as they used to. The principal, people don't fear the principal as much as they used to. And that's the reason why, one of the reasons why Hashem told us, and Rav Kook explained to us, that yes, we are in the redemption, even though exile served as a threat that if you don't act good, God is going to send us to exile. Well, that threat today is already counterproductive. There are other threats. There are other crises that we can go through. But Hashem says that once He brings us back to the land of Israel for the third time, it is final. There's not going to be another exile. Again, we could have difficulties, and there are always challenges. Nevertheless, the world today is running on the hinge of Midat HaRachamim and less on the hinge of Midat HaDin. And again, it's very connected with our topic.